The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So reality matters, right? You know, when that professional looks at you and tells you what's really going on with your car, that kind of a reality matters. Or when a medical professional explains what's going on with your health, that kind of reality matters. Or when your four-year-old tells you that you are now going to be Owlette while he pretends to be Catboy, that kind of reality matters. It really does. You can ask Eli and Lucy anytime when they've watched a TV show recently and they decide to pretend that they are going to live within that little fantasy world when their father enters the room and says, "Hey, Eli, hey, Lucy." And they respond, "We're not Eli and Lucy. We're Owlette and Catboy and you are Gecko." That reality matters. And if I don't interact with it, bad things happen. But I will also tell you that even as they give me this script of how to interact with them in that playful reality, if we're outside or if we're in the house and something dangerous is about to occur, a different reality comes crashing in. "Hey guys, a car's coming. Get to the side of the road now." "No, do not throw that statue across the room. It will break. Put the ball down now." Reality matters. But here's the thing. Sometimes we don't pay attention to reality, right? Sometimes we try to ignore the reality that's coming and being told to us. I think today, in a lot of ways, the Epistle of James is trying to tell us about a reality. A reality about what this world is, about who God is, and about who we are as followers of Christ. James starts by telling us that every good gift, every gracious act comes down from God, the Father of lights, in whom there is no change or variation. God is the source of goodness and grace and love in this world. That is a reality, James tells us. And James goes on to tell us that as followers of Jesus, people who are meant to be disciples of Jesus, we are meant to reflect God's reality in the world. We are meant to reflect goodness and grace and love. We are meant to be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger. We, as followers of Jesus, aren't just meant to know of God and know of the truth, but to live it out, to help others know and feel and experience goodness in the midst of a world where goodness can be hard to find. We are called, according to James, to care for and remember the powerless, the forgotten, the weak and the hungry, those who are alone, those whom this world pays no attention to. We, as followers of Jesus, according to James, according to the reality that he knows, are not to let the confusion and the anger and the division and the darkness of this world define us and define our actions. James is describing a vision of reality which is full of compassion and love and which calls you and me and every person of faith to action. Now, I believe that at its best, religion, the true religion that James talks about today, is something that connects us with this reality of God. It is something that calls us from our individual lives to be in community with others. It's something that reminds us that we are meant to love and care for others. It is something that is meant to strengthen us and encourage us as we seek to live the way James is talking. At its best, that is what religion does. But clearly, as we can tell from the gospel this morning, religion doesn't always function that way, right? Now, let's be absolutely clear. Today's gospel reading is not telling you not to wash your hands. That's not the point. It's not telling you that washing pots is questionable or washing the food that you buy at the market is questionable. That is not the point. The point here is that religious teachers, people like me, have taken some actions, some important actions in life, and they've started using those religious actions to define other people, to exclude other people, to judge other people, right? Those religious leaders are looking at Jesus' followers and saying, look, they're not following all the rules. They're not doing it the right way. They forgot to ritually wash their hands. They forgot to wash the apple. They're eating the wrong kind of food. They're no good. They are using religion not to remember the poor, not to lift up the weak, not to bring people together, but to judge, to label, to exclude. That is not true religion. And I think if we're honest about it, we know that there are many other occasions in religious history where religion has failed to be true religion, right? We know that religion has been misused throughout the years and to this current day to judge others, to hurt others, to exclude people, to label people. Religion has been used for a veil for illegal and immoral actions. Religion has been used as a tool to manipulate and to hurt. Let's be clear. This isn't the religion of Jesus. It's not the religion that James talks about. It is not the religion of God. No. True religion, the faith of Jesus of Nazareth, the faith described in the letter of James today, is about connecting us with God, with each other, and with God's dream for a world where there is hope and love and grace and goodness. True religion enables and encourages you and me to act out and embody that truth of God, to let God's dream of wholeness come to birth in the midst of a messed up, sick, dark, divided, and broken world. True religion can free us. It can free others. It can save the world. And today I want to tell you that that God-given truth, that true religion, it matters. It is a reality we need to pay attention to. Just like when I say to my kids at the side of the road, I don't care if you're being Catboy and Owlette right now, get to the side of the road. There's a truck coming. We've got to pay attention to this reality. So lest we lose sight of such an invitation, such a gift, such a true reality, I want to offer us all an opportunity today. Labor Day still hasn't come. It's still the summer, so I can still do homework. Isn't this great? I've been doing this now, what, since June, I think. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. Sitting next to Adam are a bunch of these little goldenrod slips of paper. And on the goldenrod slip of paper is a paraphrase of the Epistle of James' definition of true religion. I'll read it to you. And once I'm done, Adam, Keith, and myself will go ahead and try to pass these out to you all. Here's what it says. It says, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. Guard against corruption from the godless world. If that matters, if the truth of God matters, then I'm going to invite you to ask two questions this week based on this little definition of loving others and loving God. One, over the course of the past week, how has your time and the use of your ability and your resources reflected God's care for the forgotten for the least, for the powerless? How have your actions and your time reflected that care and concern of God? That's the first question. Just kind of look over your week and how have you connected with that? The second question, after you've asked that first, is this. What is one way, one little step that I might be able to take so that I, in my life, could connect with God's dream for a world that is marked by love? What's one thing I could do? Could I pray? Could I read scripture? Could I call that person I don't want to call? What's one thing I could do to come a little closer to true religion? Sisters and brothers, the reality of God is that God dreams of a humanity that is united. God dreams of a world where there is peace. God dreams of a world where we honor and value every human being. That dream is a reality. May we live into that reality. Amen.